We have read an amazing account, and I've actually given a title to it called New Look. Now, you may know the clothes shop New Look, and not even attempting to do any clothes promotion and how you can look better, but it is a vital lesson we can actually draw out of this passage for our lives. It really is amazing, and you will see why soon. So we have read the Numbers 21, and that's great. Now let's just pray first. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God. We thank you that you want to minister to our hearts right now, this very moment. The next few minutes, we thank you that your word is just amazing and it literally transforms lives. And we pray now, speak into our hearts and help us to understand these truths we read here and help us to apply it in our own lives. Amen.
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 There was a woman going to church one morning, and before even she stepped out of the house, everything went wrong. And in her life on that day, everything went wrong. And then she was late for church and she rushed into the car, and guess what? She accelerated and she went over the speed limit, and the top of everything was the policeman stopped her. And she got in an argument with him, and the policeman was upset, and he said this: "Whatever you will say next, you will hear again in court." And she said, "Don't hit me again!" That was very quick, wasn't it? That was quick-minded. I wish I was so quick. But you know, that might be funny, but when you are in a particular situation, you don't find it funny, you find it tough. You know, there are days everything goes wrong. And different degrees of troubles in our lives. Maybe a printer which doesn't work, or maybe a piano which doesn't work. Well, it did work today. But you know, up to more serious things like illnesses like cancer. We face different problems in life. Now, the people of Israel, they were in a very similar situation. They were on a journey from Egypt to Canaan. Now, they could have reached their destination in a very short time. But because they were stubborn and disobedient to God, they spent a lot of years in that desert. 40 years. Maybe it's not much for you, but it is much for me, because I just turned 40 not that long ago, and I could not even imagine having been in the desert since birth. I mean, that is a long time, 40 years. It's half of your life. Why do I remind myself? But it is a long time. And the Israelites, they spent these 40 years in that desert. Every morning they got up, they saw sand and sky. Every single morning. You know, if you imagine you are away for 40 years with your suitcase on the go. I mean, I'm on the go quite a bit. But I can't imagine to live out of my suitcase for 40 years. I mean, my goodness, that is some lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, talking about gypsy and all that, but this is a big thing. Now, every morning they saw sky and sand. Every morning. And they gathered the manna from the ground and they baked their bread themselves. There was no bread machine they could plug in and it would do it for it. No, they did it all together themselves. And then sometimes they took a bite and there was sand between their teeth. You know, I mean, this is the reality out there in the desert. And they couldn't go to Morrison to get some cake with it, you know. And you know what? They didn't even have a kettle to plug in. How on earth did they manage without English tea? Oh, that would be something for us, wouldn't it? That would not be easy. Can you imagine your life without English tea? No? No. Well, it was not easy. Bread and water, sand and sky. Bread and water, sand and sky. Every day, not just for a month, for 40 years. My goodness. The great blessing the women had, they didn't have to go shopping. Woo! It was like heaven, no shops. But you see, it was a big thing for us looking back now. And it was a big thing for them. When God said, move on, they took their tents down and they packed everything and they moved again with everything they had. And then they arrive at the new place, they pitch their tent up again, sand and sky every morning, bread and water, tent down, tent up, sand and sky, bread and water, tent down, tent up. This was their life for 40 years. My goodness, that's some lifestyle, isn't it? Whew! And now, on top of all that we read, they were not permitted to go through Edom, which forced them to go around Edom. And the passage requested they returned through the Arabah, the way of the Red Sea, to Elath at the head of the eastern gulf of the Red Sea, and then passed up through the mountains to the eastern desert. Things were against them. That was just too much for them. And then we read something, and it's this. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Their circumstances caused a deep depression in their souls because they had a wrong look. They were very disappointed and they were angry. And you know what happened next? They let their anger out against God and against Moses. They just burst out. And it wasn't the first time. And that was tough. Now you may say, well, I can understand these people. I mean, they're all these years, you know, in this desert. I mean, I can understand they are not happy, you know. But let me tell you this, it was actually 100% their own fault. Do you know why? Because they were stiff-necked, they were disobedient to God. Do you know how long actually the journey would take? 11 days. 11 days? And they spent 40 years. My goodness, that's a big difference, isn't it? And only because they were so stubborn and stiff-necked. They said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathes this worthless bread. That's what they said. How unthankful. I mean, this is how they addressed God. I mean, that is just so wicked. God provided free food every day. They didn't have to work for it. They got it for free from heaven, from God directly. I mean, that is amazing. And in their eyes, it was worthless. Look at that. They said, this worthless bread. My goodness. That was an insult against God. Now, maybe you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, is there anything in our lives which we think bad of God? Maybe just in the back of our minds, we blame God for something in our lives. You know, maybe it's just a small thing, but we still blame God. Maybe we need to change our attitude in that. You see, then the Lord actually sent fiery serpents, and many were bitten and many died. Now, they are said to be fiery. They were either fiery in their bright, vivid color or the violent inflammation they caused, or probably both. Now, the situation gets worse. Death crept into the camp. And this kind of death was very much related to anxiety. I mean, can you imagine these poisonous, cruel-looking, ugly creatures come and dredge their head into your tent, and then you are there with your family, you know, and then this snake comes and bites you and the whole family, and you die. Screams everywhere. It was bad. It was a bad day. A very bad day. It was a tragedy. Screams all over. Now, the Israelites realized they have sinned. Somehow, a conviction of sin came over them. And they were sorry for their behavior against God. They knew they have done wrong. You know, but God has given every human being a conscience. And that's a good thing, you know. We know when we have done wrong. We know it in our hearts. Now, they realized the serpents were a result of their own sin. And it's interesting, they asked Moses, pray to God for us. You know, Moses could have said, well, you pray yourself. You messed up, you pray. No, Moses was very gracious, but they came to God and they felt their own unworthiness. That's why they asked Moses to pray for them. So Moses prayed for the people, we read. Now this is amazing. God answered. And do you know how he answered? He didn't actually remove the snakes. He didn't remove the problem, but he answered this. Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. That is amazing. That was a big, big, big thing. And I want you to picture this scene. Now you go back right there into that camp. And you are among these Israelites in your tent. Screams everywhere. Because these ugly looking, cruel serpents were everywhere. Bit everybody. And death was in the camp. It was not a fun day. And you were there in the tent just waiting until another snake comes into your tent. And here we go. It stretches its ugly head into your tent. And it looks straight into your eyes. And what do you do? If there was a chair, everybody in here probably would just climb on that chair. You know, you would suddenly become mobile, I tell you. And then, what do you do next? You can't defend yourself. How? You can't do anything. Now, this creature comes to me. I hate snakes. I just hate it. I mean, totally. It's eek to me. It's disgusting. And now these snakes come to you and you feel it. And what do you do? What can you do? You can't run away. In that moment, you just feel the bite in your ankle of the snake. Now, in that very moment, you've got to make a decision. And here it is. Either you look down. This is our first reaction, to look down. Oh, my foot, my ankle, I need to do something. Or you look up to that bronze snake which Moses has put up. If God says, if you look up, you live. If you look down, you die. All comes down to your look. Where do your eyes look to? It determines your life or your death. So you try to look up. I look up. And you feel the problem in your ankle. While you're looking up, what do you think goes through your head? You look up. And you know what happens? While you look up, you just think, peace, go away, go away. And instead of going away, a second serpent comes in. Because you know, when you look up, you still can see out of your corner of the eyes. Like now, I can see you, you know. I can see you if you yawn, I see. Like that, you know. But you know what? A second one comes in and bites you again. And you're still looking up to the serpent there. And you're thinking, is that going to work? Or will I drop dead? This is what goes through your head. Guess how I know? Not that I experienced it, but there's many, many, many problems in our lives. We've got to do the same. You feel the problem. You feel it. And you think, is that really going to work? Looking up to God, you know? Ooh, this is quite something. This was a real test. I tell you what, this was the only defense they had. The only defense. There was no other defense. They couldn't take the gun. I don't think they had guns in there. There was no other defense than to look up. Now, the right look is so important, so much more than you think. You see, it's the very same in our lives. We need to look up to Jesus away from the problems you feel. I want to emphasize that. Because you may feel the problem. Either if it's a health issue, you feel it. If it's a big problem maybe in your family, you feel it. You feel the problem. The mountains of problems, you need to turn away from them and actually look up to God. He is the only solution in your life. And I tell you, I have met many people with mountains of problems. There's only one solution, and it's really God. Is no other solution. You know, I'm always racing against time. Isn't that sad? I tell you what, just very, very quickly. I had just not long ago, actually, a big problem with my shoulders, like because my bones were overlapping instead of straight. And especially when I came back from Switzerland, it was so painful. I couldn't sleep. I woke up in pain. I couldn't do anything. And the doctors, they said to me, you need a huge surgery. And I said, no, thanks. And I needed a miracle. And I felt that problem in my body all the time. And I tell you, if you feel it so heavy, it's not easy to look up and believe, is that going to work, you know? But I did. There was no other option anyway. And I didn't want to go to that operation. And you know, I let pray for me and God touched my body. Wow, I was so amazed. I mean, I experienced miracles before my body, but that was just amazing. I mean, the pain is gone. I can lift my arm like that. I couldn't do that for years. I said, wow, I can praise God again. I mean, I was so excited. You have no idea. And my point here is, you can feel the problem, but you need to turn away from these things and look up to God. He is your help. Let's quickly move on here. You see, when you take driving lessons, at least in Switzerland, they teach you, you never look to the left when you drive straight. Because wherever you look, that's where you tend to drive. Oh, what a lovely sunset, you know. Oh, and then you are already a little bit tending to go to the left because you look to the left. So this is amazing. You know, where you look physically, but spiritually even more, that's where you go. Where you look is. You know, even do you remember Peter walking on the sea by the command of Jesus? Peter walked on the sea. And we read, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. So what did happen? He was okay while he was looking up to Jesus. But as soon he looked away and he saw that big wave, and he thought, "Whoa! How on earth will I go up there? I will go up. Something will happen, you know. Suddenly our mechanic up here, the box, said something else than what Jesus said. Jesus said, walk to me. But then he thought, ooh, I maybe dive through here. You know, it's something up here. And then he looked away from Jesus and then he sank. It's the same thing here with our daily situations. Now, a wrong look always pulls you down. Peter had the same experience and it makes you lifeless. It takes the oomph out of you. A wrong look makes you depressive. And the heavy spirit, you see, because the same happened in Israel. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way because they had a wrong look. I remember there was a neighbor who fell down while somebody came, please come help my neighbor. It was years ago when we still were in Peterhead. And then I went to the neighbor and there he was, kneeling on the floor. And then I remember I took all my strength I had and grabbed him under his shoulders and I lifted him up. Whew. I thought I've lifted an elephant. He was so heavy. He was a big man. No wonder he couldn't get up himself. He was just big and very, very heavy. You see, I thought he was a ton heavy. But then, you see, if you're heavy, you're hindered. You can't move. It pulls you down. It pulls you down. And he couldn't get up himself. It started with the wrong look. A wrong look always pulls you down. Actually, a few hours later, that man died. You see, a wrong look causes death. It caused death 5,500 years ago in the camp of Israel. It causes death today. It always causes death. You see, a wrong look is basically look away from Jesus. Now you can look to other things in your life. You know, maybe you are not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then your look is not to Jesus. You see, and that is major. It's death in the pot. That's how it is. It pulls you down. And you don't want to go down, do you? You don't want to go down if you can go up. Why do you want to go down? Nobody wants to go down. You want to go up. You see, the serpents, they bit the people and they couldn't call a doctor. There was no doctor in the camp. There was no doctor in the camp. The only cure was to look up. Now, you explain that to me scientifically. What does that do to your body if you look up to a bronze serpent and then you live, and if you look down to your bitten ankle, you die? You explain that to me, please. There is no explanation. How can you live if you look up and you die when you look down? It's called a miracle. Praise God. You see, there are still miracles, you know. There are miracles, you know, and you can't explain them because there's no explanation for miracle. Isn't that great? Just not long ago, I prayed for a deaf person and God opened her ears and she could hear. And she went to get it tested and they couldn't believe it. And she had to go back to do another test and they still couldn't believe it. And they said, all your scars have left too. And she tried to explain, but she has got to go back again in the end of the month because they still can't believe it after all these tests. Now somebody else tests her. It's called a miracle. And you cannot scientifically explain it. Why? Well, You see, we try to understand, we try to give an explanation, we try to understand it, but it doesn't work that way. You see, some people, they try to understand the Bible from a totally different approach, you know, just to fill the head knowledge. But it doesn't do anything to you. You know, if you know the whole Bible and you're still not saved and you haven't given your heart to God, what does it do to you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, it's the same thing. Let's say if I read a cookbook, you know, and I say, oh, this looks so good. Oh, and this dessert looks even better. I love desserts, as you can tell. And this cake looks so good. And this, my goodness, it doesn't do anything for me if I haven't anyone who does it for me. Or if I cook it myself, attempt, you know, it doesn't do anything. If you just read the book without doing it, it doesn't do anything for you, you know. But there was no explanation 5,500 years ago, and there is no explanation today. And it is a miracle, and God wants to do a miracle in your heart. You see, this is the most important thing. In your heart. I know a doctor of theology in Switzerland whose children were asked at school, what kind of doctor is your dad? And they said, he's a doctor of sin. It was really funny, really. He was a doctor of theology, but he was a doctor of sin. Yeah, but you know what? These people in the camp, they didn't need a doctor of theology, which is just up here. They needed a doctor of sin. And guess what? There was one doctor there, the doctor of sin. He was called God. You know, he deals with the root of the problem, which is sin. He wants to deal with your sin tonight. You need to come to God tonight, I tell you. It's the only thing you can do. And repent of your sin. Just say, please forgive my sins. I don't want them anymore. I have had enough of it. You know, please cleanse me. Give me a new heart. He doesn't change you. He actually makes you new. And that's fantastic. You see, now he can do that big heart operation in your life. But you know what? You need to come to God tonight. You need to come to him. He can't do that for you. And then you need to look up in faith, because you can approach God in faith. Because if you believe, yes, he can take away my sin. He can actually deal with my sin. If you do that, he will do it. But you need to look up in faith. You see, it all goes by faith. And the biggest miracle ever will happen in your life, which is called a new creation. He will do it. I did it when I was 15. It was instant change. Instant. I went down, unforgiven. I got up, forgiven. And the floods of joy and peace just rolled into my heart. It was amazing. And the presence of God was there. I still can't remember it. It was so good. Do you want to do that yourself? If you haven't done it yet, you know, you maybe you have come here for many years. And it's good. It's great. And to sing all these hymns. Great. Excellent. But you know what? It's better even if you give your life to Jesus. It's the best thing. Now, if you want to do that tonight, come to me and we can pray together. It's so important. It's the most important thing in your life. Don't delay. And certainly don't think what everybody else thinks. Who cares? It's about you. God loves you. Isn't that great? It is fantastic. And then you've got a good life, I tell you. You will have a good life. Yeah. It's the best life you can have with God. Let's pray.